Good morning, everybody. Michael Chaika here. And on behalf of everybody, I want to thank everybody for showing up today on the call for our second quarter market review and economic outlook. Everybody should have received your quarterly newsletter by now. And some of the topics that we're going to talk about are addressed in the newsletter, but we want to make sure that you hear everything right from Jim. For those of you who I've not met, my name is Michael Chaika. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Malvern Capital. I have my partner on the phone, Jim Olson. Jim is our chief investment officer as well as a co-founder. We have Lou Ivanoni. Lou is our executive vice president. And then we have Jenny Shapiro, who is our executive vice president of operations. And actually, Jenny keeps us all in line. So I want to thank everybody for coming today. We normally don't do a lot of group calls. In fact, this is really our second one that we've done. And it's really based upon the feedback that we received from the first call that we did in March. The response was excellent. And so we asked everybody to send a couple notes, and we asked a couple people to give us some suggestions, and the response was actually very positive. And so the byproduct of the results of the questionnaire was that most clients wanted to hear more of us on a more frequent basis. So again, we're going to try to do these maybe once a quarter, maybe a little bit spread out, but for the most part, again, thank you everybody for coming here. The reality of it is that nothing has really changed since our last call in March, other than inflation continues to grow, interest rates continue to rise, and market volatility has increased tremendously. And the reality of that is that we've actually been positioned for this since January. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today is actually there's going to be three things that we're going to talk about today. And this is a byproduct of the questions that you had sent in. So the call today is going to last about 30 minutes. One of the things that we have found is that a lot of the audience here, you have sat on conference calls before. And I think the optimal time is about 30 minutes. Beyond 30 minutes, they start to get a little boring. And we want to make sure that, you know, we really just touch on the three hot topics that we see in the marketplace right now and address any questions that we have. So before I turn this over to Jim, you know, we really do understand everybody's nervousness right now. The market, the world is going crazy. There are two things in our mind that can really disrupt and destroy a person's long-term investment plan. And the two things are, one, lack of patience, and emotion. And I can tell you from where we're sitting right now, we have a great deal of patience. In fact, for the most part, all of our clients who have either been with us for some time right now, or even new clients, we're sitting on a pretty decent amount of cash right now. And even in light of the couple market performances that we've seen over the last 2 days, Jim will get into this a little bit later in the discussion, but for the most part, we still think that there are a lot of uncertainties in the market. And from an emotion perspective, we really are emotionless. I mean, this is just really a byproduct of our thesis and our investment process that we really try to articulate to all of our clients. So patience and emotion are two of the things that we really just try to stick by, even in light of everything that's going on right now. So for the most part, I want to turn this over to Jim. And the three topics that we're going to talk about today is, you know, the number one question that we got back is, you know, are we going to go into a recession? And if so, how long do you think it'll last? The other is, when do you think the stock market will recover? And then also, what are your thoughts on historic? We have historic inflation right now, but what are your thoughts on, you know, getting back to some sense of normalcy? So, you know, Jim, the first question, what is the likelihood that we go into a recession? And again, that seems to be the biggest question out on the in the world right now for the United States anyway. So, Jim, why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think there's a very high likelihood that we will have a recession if we're not already in a recession. And the reason I say we may possibly be in a recession right now is that it's usually defined as two negative quarters of GDP growth in a row. And we've had, the first quarter was negative by 1.6%. July 29th, the inflation or the GDP number for the second quarter will come out, the first read of that. And there's a good chance that that's going to be negative too. So the definition of a recession is two negative quarters. And we just very may well have that at the on July 29th. If not, I still think there's a high probability that we will see a recession in the next 12 months. You know, we've seen some of the signals for that. The inverted yield curve, we've seen high yield bonds sell off, and the bond market, I always say the bond market is smarter than the stock market. And the bond market's telling us something by widening the spreads on high yield bonds. So I think there is that higher probability that we will see that in the next within the next 12 months if we're not there already. Some of the things that tell us that we're not in a recession, there's a very, very low default rate there's a very low default rate on high yield bonds right now. Usually the average is somewhere around 3.5% in good times and bad times. And we're actually at a very low, below 1% default rate on high yield bonds. So that's encouraging. And the jobs numbers have been really terrific. You know, we've had several months in a row of increasing jobs numbers. So I kind of scratch my head, how do we have a recession with such strong jobs numbers? But this may be an unusual recession. It may be something that's sort of unprecedented, or something similar to the recession in 1990, which was kind of mild, and we didn't see a lot of job loss then. And it could be very similar to that. The other thing that's out there is that three of the last four recessions have been preceded by an oil shock. And we've had that, you know, with prices of oil jumping considerably high over the last year or so. And that tends to weigh on the economy and drive us into recession. So we see that, you know, there wasn't really an oil shock prior to the 2020 recession, but the prior three there was. So we have that out there. So again, just to summarize, I think there is that high probability that we're either in a recession or we will see one in the next 12 months.
Thanks. And, you know, one of the, just a follow-up comment about that is, you know, we take a very pragmatic, common sense approach to investing. And I think if everybody in the audience just looks at your day-to-day activities and where you spend your money and the increased cost of goods, you don't necessarily have to see the print or really determine, you know, based on metrics or the government saying, hey, we're in a recession. I think everybody's feeling the pain right now when you go to the gas pump and food and everything that is involved in your day-to-day activities and where you're spending your money on. So, you know, as Jim said, you know, if we go into a recession, it may be mild. We'll wait and see what the data, you know, produces at the end of the month. And, you know, we'll just sort of take it from there. So, Jim, you know, this is always the big question that we get, right? When will the stock market recover? And, you know, I always say that's always sort of a loaded question, because if we really did know that, we probably wouldn't be on this call and we'd be, you know, living somewhere in some nice island because we would have all the answers. But why don't you go ahead and take that?
Yeah. So yesterday was very encouraging. It was a broad-based rally. Market shot up unexpectedly. I think a lot of what sparked the rally yesterday was, so far, the earnings reports that have been coming out. We're in earnings season right now, and those earnings reports have been pretty good. We've had a few warnings, and we're just in the early stages of it. But I think investors kind of looked at what we've seen so far and said, hey, these aren't too bad. We were expecting a slowdown in earnings, and you know, that was something that we kind of expect is going to happen, but you know, maybe it's not going to happen. So when will the market actually recover? I don't think we're there yet, but I think we're getting close to a reversal in the market. It's trying to rally today. So it'd be a nice follow through from yesterday, but I still think there may be another sell-off in line. taking us down a bit on the market, maybe down a couple hundred points on the S&P. But I think that'll be it. I think the, you know, we'll get that flush out, which we usually need, where we see the volatility index spike and shake out some of the people holding on to hope here, knock them out of the market. So we may still have to see that yet. And we haven't seen any real flush out as of yet, which you usually see at the end of a bear market. But I think we're getting close. And I think if yesterday was, you know, it was a good sign. It was a good sign to see. Today developing into hopefully a good day. But it still may be a bear market rally. So I don't think we're prepared to lift our hedges yet and put a lot of cash to work at this point. I think we're still going to wait on the sidelines with what we have. We still have exposure to the market, but we're just going to kind of hold tight for right now. But again, I think we're getting close. So the market does precede the economy. So by usually 6 to 9 months. So if we're in a recession, that's old news to the market. The market's looking ahead to recovery. And we're getting there. I think we're getting there.
So I'm going to share a chart with everybody, which is really just on the dovetail of what Jim was talking about. So if you take a look at this chart right here, it really, you know, where does the most pain come from before, during, and after a recession? So if you look at the red circle, so typically where the most pain is felt in the stock market from, you know, a return perspective is in that red circle, which is typically 1 to 6 months. And so, you know, if you look at that, we're in this period right now. So we're probably, let's call it 7 months into this pre-recession period. Again, keeping in mind that the official recession may be, you know, marked on the books as of the end of this month. But then if you look to the left of that during a recession, look at the significance of returns. So if you take the bottom returns of that 1 to 6 month in that blue bar, and you know, you compare it to the top in the green bar, I mean, you get a significant reversal, which, you know, again, nothing is set in stone for us, but we have to take the experience that we know and apply it to the market and the investments in your portfolio. So again, as Jim said, we're just going to be a little bit patient. One of the things I talked about early on, and we have some extra cash in all the client portfolios, and we'll wait. Hopefully we'll see something in the next month or so, and you know, we'll be able to deploy the cash and get fully invested and back to where we want to be. So Jim, you know, again, the other topic is inflation. Inflation is just running rampant. The last print was 9.1%. When do you think we're going to get back to some sense of normalcy, either in inflation or, I guess, you know, pricing of, you know, goods and services?
Well, I think it's going to be a while. I think it may start to come down a bit, especially next month. I think with gas prices dropping the way they have over the last month or so, last 30 days or so, we've had a nice drop in gas prices. That's going to translate to a lower print in August when the inflation number comes out. But I wouldn't read a lot into that. There's a lot of noise there. So I think it's going to stay high. It's going to stay elevated for a while. The Fed is doing its best by raising interest rates. That's about the only way to really combat inflation, is to raise interest rates and try to slow down the economy without throwing it into recession. Unfortunately, I think the Fed is in a really difficult position where they're going to kind of force us into a mild recession in their attempts to fight inflation. But it just seems like the numbers are going to come down over the next few months, but not enough to be comfortable to the average person. I think in 2023, we're still going to see 5% inflation rates. We're at 9.1 now, so it'll come down a little bit, but I think it's going to be a while before we see real drop in inflation rates. So that's unfortunate. You know, the last time we had inflation like this was back in 1980, and the way it was ended was through the Fed forcing us into a recession by raising rates very high. They were raised up into the 20% range, and we're not going to go anywhere near that. But an interesting stat I saw the other day is that if the same metrics were used to calculate inflation today as were used in 1980, inflation would be about 16% right now. So in comparison to the early, you know, into 1980, we're not really far off from, you know, if we were 16%, inflation got up into the 14, 15, 16% range back then. So that's kind of scary in a way, but, and the only way that ended was by the economy going into actually a pretty deep recession in the early 1980s. So I think that's where we're at. Unfortunately, I don't have better news on the inflation front at this time.
Thanks, Jim. So those three topics that Jim just talked about were the three primary topic discussions. We did get an outlier question that has to do with the transfer of retirement money in a traditional IRA into a Roth IRA. Now, normally what we wouldn't do is we wouldn't give specific information and details because everybody is different. But, you know, Jim, so the question is from one of our clients, Kevin. He says, you know, given with the current market conditions and tax rates, what are your thoughts about converting monies into a Roth IRA from a traditional IRA over the next few years?
Yeah, well, this is something that's very specific to the individual based on tax brackets and how they feel about going into a Roth IRA. I think it's a good time with the market down, you know, we're down 20% or thereabouts for the year. You know, you're converting and incurring taxable income at a lower valuation. So it does make sense to do that on an individual basis. So something we can talk to you one-on-one about, but you know, it may not be a bad idea to at least think about that. So, but you know, the downside to it is you got to pay the taxes on it. So if you convert $100,000 to a Roth IRA and you're in a 25% tax bracket, that's, you know, potentially $25,000 that has to go to Uncle Sam. So that's the negative to it. But then again, those assets will never, that Roth will never be taxed again. So it's the trade-off. But again, on an individual basis, we'd be happy to talk to you about that.
Yeah. Okay. Great, Jim. Thanks. So, you know, this really concludes the majority of the presentation. And the other big question that we always get is, you know, how as a firm or how as individuals, you know, myself, Lou, Jenny, and Jim, I mean, how do we avoid, you know, sell-offs and major drawdowns and avoid consequences like we've seen this year? And, you know, the truth of the matter is that a lot of this starts well in advance when we take individuals on as clients. Every client that we've ever dealt with and continue to deal with, you'll remember, we've asked you to go through a risk tolerance questionnaire and just be very truthful, because the byproduct of the questionnaire really tells us how much risk you're really truly willing to absorb. And based on the byproduct of the risk questionnaire and your time horizon, we will build a portfolio that's customized to you based on your own individual risk tolerance. And so the other thing that I would say is, from a global perspective, we really take an institutional approach to asset management and wealth management. And we actually had an investment committee meeting, I guess, last week. And, you know, we come to the conclusion that we either like an investment or we don't. And that's not to say that we could buy something and in 6 to 8 weeks later say, decide that it's not performing how we like. The market has changed so dramatically and we sell that out of your portfolio. And so what I would tell all of our clients that this year to date, We have done more trading in client accounts than we have done collectively in the last 4 years since we started the firm. And the byproduct of that is that we're always looking, given the volatility that we talked about, given all of the global environment, given the global environment and everything that's taking place, we really are just trying to avoid any potential risk along the way, either right now or somewhere in the future. And so that's why I can attest that, you know, all of our client accounts have seen increased trading activity. And, you know, a byproduct of our investment committee meeting is that, look, you know, as Jim said, we're looking for some entry points right now, maybe in the next month, maybe 6 weeks. We just really want to see what the market gives us. And we're going to get back to some sense of, we think, investment normalcy, where the turnover or the transactions in the accounts will be a lot less or what you're historically used to. So, you know, having said that, I just, you know, Lou, is there anything that you want to add before we sign off?
No, I think we covered everything. I guess the only thing I would add is back to Jim, the global picture and the risk that are on the horizon. A lot of that seems to be factored into the market. I think that's why we see the market be a little stubborn here as far as getting to the capitulation phase. And typically, it might be something that's not factored in yet. Maybe one of those scenarios is the what's now being talked about a lot more, the energy crisis or more natural gas crisis in Europe. And then the ripple effect that would have if they did cutbacks on the amount of usage, we're talking about a 15% cutback. So I would think that might be something that's not quite factored in yet, the ripple effect of that. So, yeah, it's something we have to keep our eye on.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to add, I mean, there's always, you know, global macro issues, things that, you know, we're not even thinking of today that will pop up and cause the market to move one way or the other. But I still, you know, just going back to what I said earlier, I really think that 12 months from now, the market's going to be substantially higher than it is today. You know, I you know, we added something in the market commentary, you know, it was the worst, we had the worst first half of a year since 1970. Well, the second half of 1970, the S&P was up 26.5%. So just keep that in mind. Like I said, we're getting close. I just don't think we're there yet to say we're at the bottom. Maybe we already hit the bottom. We just have to retest the lows from back in June, mid-June. We are getting close.
Great. Well, thank you, everybody. I'll leave you with this best advice that I left last time. And I would just say, turn off all of your TV and Fox News and CNN and MSNBC, turn them all off. You'll be much happier and less stressful. But in all seriousness, I mean, on behalf of myself, Jim, Lou, and Jenny, everyone thanks you for your trust in your business. And we're always here. If you have any questions at all, you know how to get every one of us. You have our cell phones and email addresses. Again, we thank you for your business. We thank you for your trust, and enjoy the rest of your summer. Thank you.